Sister Elizabeth was singing that song and speaking about Fanny Crosby. She was blind all of her life. Somebody asked her one time, said, "Aren't you sad that you've never seen the sun come up or a sunset or a beautiful rose, face of a child?" She said, "No, you understand. Though I've not seen all of those things, the first thing I'll ever see is the face of Jesus." Wow. Lord, we love you this morning. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Thank you all so much this morning. I'm going to preach a very, very simple message, and I shared Luke chapter 12, verse 16. I shared briefly a little devotion with our young adults Friday night. I jumped off some of these scriptures, but I wanted to share a message from this passage. And I'm going to speak to you this morning about your heart. Your heart. Because only nobody really knows you but you and the good Lord. You can live with somebody. You can live with somebody and that person not know you. But God knows your heart, and we want to talk about our heart today. Amen. The Bible says here, and it reads, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, within his own heart, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And then he said," and he's having a conversation with his own heart, he says, "This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater," build bigger. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." Still having this conversation with his own heart. "And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry." God interrupts this conversation. God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided?" Verse 21. "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Verse 34, "For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also." Father, if we look at a service and determine its success or its way we perceive it, you've already blessed us. We've already felt your presence. We've worshiped you, and I believe you've been pleased. We've praised you, God, and you've been honored. We've sang and gave the tithe and the offerings. But, Lord, now we come to this part of the service where the Word of God is going to be preached. And, Lord, as always, I submit myself to you, body, soul, and spirit, mind. And, God, use me to speak to this wonderful congregation. But God, also in that same token, Lord, give them ears and eyes to hear and to see. And as I've always prayed, God, an understanding heart. Let these words that you speak through me today, let them be applied to our hearts. And we'll give you praise, honor, and glory. And everybody said amen, and you can be seated. What a beautiful service to be in, to feel his presence. To know that the true and the living God, the God of this Bible, the God of the universe, has met us here. What we are so honored that a God that we serve would condescend and come down and dwell amongst his created beings. What a wonderful, wonderful privilege that is. Would you say amen? For a little while today, I want to speak to you. Again, this is very simple, but I want to get, excuse the pun, I want to get to the heart of the matter, because where your treasure is where your heart is going to be. Did you hear me? Where your treasure is where your heart is going to be. Now, I write here, your heart moves toward what you treasure. That's what, if one preacher put it this way, and I would never do this, I would never require this or ask this because it's beyond my capabilities or my authority, if you will. But he said, a preacher said this one time, he said, I can show you where your heart is. He says, make me your schedule out, what you do every day, every hour, for weeks or a few months, and bring me all of your receipts of how you spend your money. And he said, with that schedule and with the receipts of how you spend your money, I'll be able to show you where your heart is. Come on here now. Of course, I will never ask you that. Number one, it's none of my business. And number two, I don't have the authority to ask that. But in order to find out where our hearts truly are, all we have to do is to find out where our treasure is. And the Bible here clearly speaks about this man. I'm going to spend a lot of time this morning on him. But obviously, his treasure was in the things that he heaped up to himself, his material goods. And what he neglected to do was to think about those things that are eternal. And I'm here to say this morning that I'm thankful that, I'm thankful that what we're going through, God is doing something through that. And I'm thinking that he's waking the church up and letting us see, amen, that there is an eternal a consequence to the way that our nation goes, the way that we go. We sang, one day I'll wear a robe and a crown. That's one of our favorites here, because there is something biblically true about that song, that there is a literal crown and a robe that the Lord himself will give to those that overcome. Would you say amen? So that is something eternal. And so where our treasure is where our heart is going to be. So your heart moves toward you treasure, and God wants you to move toward him. See, I've told you in many sermons and many illustrations that God is looking for people that are radical after him. Isn't it amazing to you that a Muslim who serves a false God, that reads a false Bible, that follows a false ideology, that has a false worldview, that the moment that the Muslim dies, he instantly lifts up his eyes and he's in hell? That Muslim is completely deceived by a false religion, a false world religion, but yet he's willing to pray five times a day. He's willing to go to his mosque and worship in his temple, if you will. He'll pray five times a day during the holy month of Ramadan. The entire Muslim population on planet Earth will not eat before after sunrise, or they fast between sunrise and sunset for 30 days. And will not eat until after that. The entire nation, they have what they call a religious pilgrimage that they are required to take once a year, and it's once in a lifetime, and it's in Saudi Arabia. And all of these things, they are zealous for their religion. They are zealous for Allah God, who's not even a real God. But yet the people of the true and the living God, we kind of think, well, we can kind of just patty cake through this thing and lollygag through it, amen. But you know, that Muslim is so radical, he's so institutionalized and brainwashed, if you will, that he will strap a bomb around himself and kill himself with the hope that he will instantly enter into paradise, all in the name of his religion. That's radical. That's dedicated. Come on here now. He's not thinking about laying up treasures here on the earth. He's thinking about laying up treasures in their heaven with his God, who does not even exist. How much more should the people of God be radical and zealous about the things of the true and the living God? Here we see a man who said, I'll build bigger barns. I'm so blessed, I'm going to build some bigger barns. Then I'll lay it all up, and then I'll just kick back in the easy chair. And he said, I'll just eat, drink, and be merry. How many of you know that God instantly told this man, you're a fool, because what you've done, you've spent your life laboring for things that cannot help you in the afterlife, in eternity. How many of you know that when you leave this world, you're going to go one or two places? Wow, we need to tell people that that doctrine of judgment and damnation and hell, fire, and eternal torment and punishment and the wrath of God seems to be slipping away from the pulpits of today. But let me tell you, church, there is hell to pay if you reject the true and the living God and live your life anyway, but all to the saints of God that will lay up treasures in heaven and not on this earth. We realize that we have a heavenly home, a higher calling than here. One man asked, "Is what is success?" Many replies, "That depends on what you value in life, what is important to you." What is success to you? What do you personally value? I want to ask you a question. You may not remember any of this sermon, but one thing I want you to remember, where's your heart at when you leave? What do you pursue? What do you spend your time, your energy, your money on? I had a preacher tell me, we were talking, he was a mentor to me. He said, "You'll know when God really gets a hold of somebody." I said, "How's that, sir?" He said, "When God's got their pocketbook." Oh, me? I'm not going to preach on money. If you ain't got it by now, you ain't never going to get it. Come on here. You lay up treasures in heaven, amen. You're willing to, you tithe, you give your offerings, you bless the work of God in missions, and God will just open up the windows of heaven and pour it out on you. How many of you believe that? Raise your hand and signify that, amen. But see, ask your own self, how do you spend your time? I'm talking about your heart this morning. I'm not going to preach an evangelistic, Pentecostal, jumping pews, shouting, swinging from the chandelier message this morning. I want to ask you, where's your heart at this morning? Are you like this man who says, "You know what, I'm just going to take it easy and enjoy life, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying the blessings of God as long as you keep your eyes on the prize." Hallelujah. How many of you know the Bible even says, "Oh, everybody races, but only a few get the prize. Many are called, amen, but only a few are chosen. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way." See, ask yourself, where do I spend my time, my energy, my money? The answers will tell you what you value in life. Think about that. That'll let you know what you value. And see, this man forgot about eternity, and I'm afraid a lot of us do. Do you know the majority of preaching in these feel-good churches are about the here and now? Come on here. And it is seducing our people into thinking more about this life, which is only but a vapor, is only here for just a little while, and then we're gone, and we're not concentrating on that which is eternal. Much of the preaching talks about your best life now, how to prosper in this life, how to live your best life right now and enjoy all the blessings and the benefits. All of that in its own context is not a bad thing, to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. But when you lose sight of the eternal, many young people, some of you here today, many of you young people, you neglect to think that because you're young, you neglect to think that you may leave this world anytime. You think, well, you've got many years ahead of you. You're not guaranteed that. See, this man, he planned well on this life, but he neglected to plan for eternity. Some people get offended when you preach this particular passage, because God called this man, he said, "You're a fool." Did you read that? You know why he was a fool? Because he neglected his eternal destiny. And you and I, we must understand, we must look deeply this morning and look at where we spend our time, our effort, our energy, our resources, and say, is my heart truly after God? Now, let me share something with you. David, now, let me just pull aside here just a moment. David was the king of Israel. The Bible says something very unique about him. He said he was a man after God's own heart. You ever read that? You ever heard that? Here's a very, can I just use my terminology? David was jacked up. David was a messed up guy. One minute he's praising God, and the next minute he's plotting to kill somebody to cover up an adulterous affair. He was up, he was down, he was in, he was out, he was convoluted. But one thing that he always did, no matter how bad he failed God, he always went back to God and cried, "Mercy, God, upon me, Lord." And he cried out, and God, he loved God. And that's where when you have your mindset and your focus is on the eternal, amen, you forget those things where you've messed up. You may have stumped your foot, toe, and you may have failed God, but your mind is on that that's eternal. He neglected to plan for eternity. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. I'm not going to apologize for this message. It's a little different way I normally like to preach, but I believe God's dealing with America. I believe God's dealing with the world. We're in a crisis. And I'm not going to spend time talking about that, but we're in a crisis. And God's seeing where our heart is, where our values are. Listen, I don't want to neglect that, you know, God blesses hard work. Somebody say amen. God blesses, you're supposed to work hard and you're supposed to provide for your family. And if you're blessed enough to be able to have generational finances that can pass on to the next generation, that is a wonderful thing that God honors. Come on. Yes, he does. He honors that, but it's in a perspective that you don't do that at looking at just laying up treasures here on earth. Can I tell you that my dad did not leave me a great deal of money or property or wealth, if you will, but I can tell you what he did leave me that was priceless was a godly heritage. He instilled into us boys, there was four of us, he instilled into us boys a desire. He created in us and nourished us and ministered to us the things of God and to let us know that this world is not our home, that it's this everything that you'll pursue. He pushed us to excel, and he pushed us to work and to do the right things. But with all of that foundation, he always placed his relationship with God at the forefront of everything he done. See, some of you are here, and I'm not trying to be harsh, and some of us listening online this morning, some of you here are simply playing a game, a very dangerous religious game. God is demanding all of you, your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, your spirit, to be zealous. The Bible said to love thy Lord God with all your what? Heart. He's not going to share you with anybody or anything. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Laying up treasures in heaven means this: working for the kingdom. Come on. Laboring before God, laboring in the kingdom of God, worshiping, praising, witnessing, studying, praying, devoting your life toward the kingdom of God, not pursuing all this other stuff. Do you know that before COVID came this year, we had a trip planned to Indianapolis? I was going to be gone for nearly 2 weeks, looking forward to it. We also had another trip, didn't we? Sister Ellen won the state talent of the Church of God pianist, and we were going to Pigeon Forge, weren't we? All of it got canceled. I've been bummed out ever since. And I've been, you know, I told my wife, and now we've got to get away this year somewhere. So somewhere around October before things get busy for the Christmas, we're going to get away and go somewhere, something a week or so, and get away. And all of us, we need these releases. We need these things that are therapeutic for us. And I don't want you to think that I'm up here talking about that you can never have any pleasure, any fun in the world and doing things that bring us joy. That's not what I'm talking about. The problem is that we're not laying up treasures in heaven. We're living simply for this life. And the mindset of the church has got to realize, as Brother Kenny mentioned here, I believe, and a lot of people believe now, that where we are in this pandemic, that we are really closer now to the coming of the Lord. The signs of the time are everywhere. And if you've never been heavenly minded, this ought to wake you up. This ought to stir you to a deeper relationship with the Lord than you've ever been. It ought to cause you to think. It ought to stir your mind and your heart and put your things on eternal perspectives. I see the America that we live in. You know, this country was founded on religious freedom. Did anybody ever know that? Did you know that? This country was found, and it's been blessed by God. Great nation, blessed by God. I read in California, the governor shut all the churches down. Do you know the abortion clinics have continued to stay open to the tune of 364 abortions a day in California? And they shut the churches down. Does anybody not see that? Does that not strike a chord in some of us? Alcohol kills how many people a year? I have no idea. The liquor stores are up and running all in California. But the governor has shut the churches down. You say, well, I'm glad it's out there in goofy, crazy California. We got a governor just like him. And if we're not careful, if we don't stand up, come on, church. And I'm telling you right now, if this is not a wake-up call, a prophetic word to the church and the church family, I think to myself, for my children, for my lost loved ones, oh God, eternity hangs in the balance. We got to wake up and see the hour that we're living in. Don't be like this man and just living your life at ease and eat and drink and be merry when God is saying, you fool, you better wake up. He said, your soul will be required of you tonight. God, if that doesn't shake us and wake some of us up, something is wrong. Go back to verse 20, brother. Lay up treasures in heaven. This is how you want to do it. How do I do that, preacher? To use your time, your energy. I've spoken about this three or four times. Your resources, your devotion in the kingdom of God. God is looking for people whose lives are focused and dedicated to Him, who pursue things that have eternal value. My great-grandfather, I don't know where this particular firearm is, but it was a gun used during the Civil War. And I don't know where it happened to it and what relative got it. But I remember being a young boy and wanting that prized possession. It was historical in value and so forth. I don't know where it's at. When I think about something like that, and some of you got some stuff like that. Some of y'all got a gold bar. I'm waiting to see who laughed just to see. You got a gold bar hid somewhere. and you're just proud of that thing, and maybe it's a diamond ring or some kind of priceless heirloom that's been passed down through the generations. It ain't gonna last, y'all. It's not gonna last. See, I got all these gold bars. He and my wife don't even know nothing about it. Amen. That's a joke to out there listening to the internet, because don't come to my house looking for no gold. There is no gold there. All this stuff that has no eternal value. Now, listen, let me carry you back to the man that God called a fool. He said, now, you said you were going to live your life with ease and you're going to eat, drink, and be merry. God said, now, your soul's going to be required of you tonight, you fool. That's what God called him. I didn't call him that. God called him that. He said, now, who are these things going to belong to now? Did you understand that? I've known people, I've pastored people when they died, they had great wealth, and they structured their will because they still wanted control over their money after they died. Maybe you've heard about stuff like that. I've seen it. I've experienced it. And I thought, wow, how pitiful that is. Because the moment that you leave this world, you can take nothing with you. That's why you must lay up treasures in heaven. That's why your heart has got to be after God. Not on, you know, not us boys, us grown men, we have our toys, don't we? Y'all better say amen. Nothing wrong with toys. Just don't let toys have you. Come on now. Nothing wrong with having blessings and material things. I believe God gives us these things and allows us to enjoy our lives here. But he says, never lose the focus. Go to James chapter 1 and 12, and I'm going to try to wrap this up. I want you to hear me. Your heart will always follow what you treasure. And I know y'all get tired of me talking about this. This church would be in revival if everybody in here, now some of you don't have Facebook, but if you spent as much time with God as you did on Facebook, your life would radically change. Say, oh me or oh my. You say, well, I don't have Facebook. Well, what is it that you spend your time on then? Trying to be nice. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Anybody love the Lord? I'm looking for this crown. I'm looking for my heavenly reward. I don't want to get so caught up. See, this COVID, and I'm hurrying, this COVID has caused us to concentrate on the chaos that we see around us. I want it to help me to see God like I've never seen him. To think about a God that spoke and created this world by the mere words of his mouth. He said, let there be light, and the sun came into existence. So a little virus, a worldwide pandemic, means nothing to God. Believe that God is using this to speak to us. I believe God using this morning to speak to us as a people, as I ask you, where is your heart at? What is your treasure? What are you following after? What do you spend your time, your energy, and your finances on? I had a church consultant tell me when I was talking to him. He was at a church conference I attended, and he talked to a bunch of us that day, and he said, I can tell where your church's passion is by visiting you. I said, how do you do that? He says, all I have to see is your checkbook. I said, that's strange. He says, because I'll be able to see where the churches spend their money. Are they building bigger buildings? Are they going after missions? Or is it for soul? Come on now. To be able to track. It's not about the money. Where's your heart at tonight, today, church? 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'll close. Sister Ellen, come on back. This has worked out about as the way I thought it would. You go to your restaurant or wherever you eat at today, and somebody may ask you, say, what did that preacher preach on? I don't hear much what he said. I don't understand. I didn't hear all of it, but I did remember one thing. He asked me where my heart was. Does anybody have a heart for revival? Seriously. Do you have a heart for revival? If you truly have a heart for revival, you'll spend time and energy and effort. Does anybody really have a heart for lost people? Come on, say amen or oh me or no. Do you spend your time, your effort, your energy in praying for the lost? Or do you work with a group of people or your family members that you've never... You work with people and they don't even know you're saved. They don't even know you're a Christian. Because whenever they're around you, all you talk about is the things of this world. This is a favorite passage of Scripture I'll close with. You can go ahead and stand. We're going to pray, have an altar service. We've got some people that wanted a prayer cloth and special prayer for Adeline, baby, that God is working miracles in her life. Now, I've not kept you long this morning, so you can't be weary. But here we see one of the greatest apostles in the New Testament, the great apostle Paul. He's about to be executed for his walk with God, for his testimony. He knows his life is coming to an end. He's sitting in a Roman prison. We don't know how long before he died, but probably just days he wrote this before he died, possibly. He wrote it to his young friend Timothy, and he said, Timothy, I believe you speak to us today. Out of the good church of God, he said, I fought a good fight, and I finished my course. I've kept the faith. He said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Here's a man that's going to die. He said, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. He said, and not to me only, Alley Good Church of God, but unto all of them that love It's appearing. I want you to bow your heads this morning. Where is your heart this morning? Would you just meditate on that just a moment? Where you asked yourself, am I in love with Jesus? Do I follow hard after Him? Am I radically involved in the kingdom of God, in the church of the living God, pursuing righteousness, holiness, the things of God? I'm not going to ask for your schedule. I'm not going to ask for your receipts. Because you can answer this question yourself this morning. Your heart will always be where your treasure is. Your heart will always be where your treasure is. Father, communicated.